Okay, hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
This is Donna. I'll move that motion.
Thank you, Donna. Can we have a second?
This is Lauren. I can second.
Thank you, Lauren.
Okay, we'll go ahead and do a roll call vote. Carol Zeiss.
Yes.
Lauren Irwin.
Yes.
Shauna Mackey.
Yes.
Bobby Perryman.
Yes.
All right, thank you. Share
You
updates.
didn't
Oh,
ask me.
oh,
This is
oh,
Donna. You
sorry.
didn't ask
Sorry.
me. But I
Donna.
say yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we'll move on to the share update then.
Okay, I have just a few notes. The first is that for our Aspen project, we are on track. We have completed all of the catalogs for all of our current public library members, and so that was completed just fairly recently. We've started the next group of our first round of schools, so we have had a few that have started to go live, and so schools just have a few different questions and concerns, and so we've been helping them as they are ready to go live. And then we are still on track to start the next group of schools here in the fall, and get them started and get everything set up by the end of the year. So we also have a bit of a transition as we think of the remainder of the fiscal year. So in the next probably starting in January, we will start working on creating the catalogs for Aspen for our transitionals. And so the shares that team will actually start taking that role on so we can get used to that process as we bring in new transitional members. We do have the Hillsborough Public Library. I had a great opportunity to chat with them at ILA, and so they're almost ready to go live. So that'll give us a great opportunity to start that process and work with them to get their catalog up and running. We also just have a note about the MessageBee service. For MessageBee, that is the new product that allows us to do the text messages for the in light of the issues with the Verizon, not getting kind of throttling those messages. It's working great. They have added Spanish language messages for us, so it should be integrated. If you are in a community that has a population of Spanish speakers, or if you want to test that, please feel free to do so. And we are, we did have a concern regarding the way that it is linking holds. And I know Carol can maybe speak to this a little bit more, of it's not taking you directly to the list of holds that might be available. And there were some reasons that we had done that. It's just linking to a generic link to each individual library's catalog. And the reason we are doing that is just because these are true text messages, not how we were sending them before was through actually an email server. And so we're really limited on how many characters we can use. But that concern has been brought up, and we're going to be discussing that with the Share Circulation Committee meeting, which is actually next week. I also have just a little bit of a note for database security. I'm not, I apologize if this, I can't remember if we had discussed this at the last meeting or not, but we have had a focus on database security where the students should not be coming up in your catalog, or excuse me, in the database. Or when you do a search for a patron. And so last year, we had actually made some changes where school library workers, volunteers, could not necessarily see public library patrons. They could only see students from their schools. So it was kind of the opposite. And it was just in two parts, of course, database security. We had talked a little bit about, the use of volunteers and patron confidentiality and having access to everything can kind of be problematic. Board trustees looking at people's information, student volunteers looking to see what their classmates are reading, that kind of thing. And so we had addressed that through some policy changes, but also some database changes. This is the next phase of that, so that we would have a little bit more security for students, so public libraries aren't able to see that information. with that, it's also helpful because I think we've all heard the issues of having items checked out to students at a public library where they should not be using those cards. And it could have been either that they did check them out at a public library, which is against share policy, or it was a mistake. They just pulled up John Smith and got the wrong one. And so it kind of helps in both ways. So that's just a little bit of an update for that. We do have some upcoming training sessions that I just wanted to note on behalf of Jennifer and the SHARE Bibliographic Services team. And then we also have some training, upcoming training sessions for the Cataloging Maintenance Center. So for in November, the CMC has a focus on serials cataloging November 4th through November 17th, and that is an L2. There's also Solving the Mystery, the Case of Cataloging Kits. So that'll be on November 14th, also in L2. In November, SHARE catalogers have, of course, the catalogers training session, which is the topic is going to be on cataloging games. There's a cataloging workday on November 15th at the Edwardsville Hub that you could stop by and chat with our catalogers. And then SHARE your cataloging questions on November 19th. Also, all of these sessions are on L2. And I will post a link in the chat to our events page. If you haven't seen that, sometimes if you're looking for something that's IHLS, it's a great way to just see all of the events that we're having, and you can filter it by CMC or by SHARE. So I'll just go ahead and post a link to those events, which links to the L2 events as well.
Thanks, Cassandra. So that's the end of updates.
I just wanted to invite, if I've missed anything, if any of our other SHARE team members would like to, if they have anything that I've maybe missed. Okay, thank you.
Moving on to new business. We have a couple of new committee members. Would you like me to go ahead and introduce them, Cassandra?
That'd be great, thank you.
Okay, so we have Don Pippin. Looks like he's logged in, welcome. And then Chrissy Belizzi. I don't know if she's logged in, but welcome.
I see Chrissy at.
There she is.
Good morning.
Thanks, welcome to you both. I think you guys are gonna be great additions to the team.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to, sorry, Carol, we have to vote on them.
Yeah, okay. We'll just need a motion in a second.
Okay, do I have a motion to approve those two new members?
I'll move. This is Bobby.
Thanks, Bobby. How about a second?
This is Donna. I'll second.
Thanks, Donna.
Okay, we'll go ahead and do a roll call vote. Carol Zeese?
Yes.
Lauren Irwin?
Yes.
Shauna Mackey?
Yes.
Bobby Perryman?
Yes.
And Donna Shaw?
Yes.
All right, thank you, and welcome to you too. Okay, now we can move on to Aspen. So suppressed statuses, is that different than what you spoke about earlier, Cassandra?
It is a little bit. At one of the previous meetings when we were starting the Aspen implementation, Jennifer had brought to the committee to ask about suppressed statuses, specifically things like withdrawn, damaged, lost, to suppress them from the catalog. At the time, the committee felt like they would prefer not to have those items suppressed. But when we started experiencing Aspen indexing issues in July, they reached out to us again and again, recommended that we speak to you again regarding that to help with indexing to make it a little bit easier. Now, just to clarify, even though those statuses would be suppressed in the Aspen catalog, they are still going to be showing up in Polaris as normal. So it is, I think, a patron-facing convenience not to see items that you would not have access to. But also it would help the reindexer that's constantly, it's constantly updating statuses. And so to enhance that quite a bit. And so I just wanted to bring this topic up again and see if we could have that discussion.
I do have one question about that. Did you say it would exclude in repair?
It would exclude in repair as well. Well,
Because a lot of,
we can take it status by status.
Okay. I don't know if anybody else agrees, but in repair items typically do come back out. And at least here, if somebody calls and says, boy, I really want that item, we can expedite it, push it to the top of the queue if it's in repair. But I don't know if anybody else has that.
I know here we do have people who will put something on hold specifically because, oh, it's in repair, but I'll put you on hold for it. Or I like them to know that it's still available because our repairs don't usually last very long.
So when we talk about statuses, we could leave in repair in the catalog if you think that you would like to have that.
Yeah, I think so.
Agreed.
Can you tell me which ones we would suppress again?
It would be, so the others that would be withdrawn, damaged, lost. And again, they would still be showing in Polaris until, of course, they're deleted if in the case of lost or damaged items. But they just wouldn't be showing for the patrons.
I have no issue with those three being suppressed from Aspen.
So I had a question then, since I wasn't involved before, what was the reasoning from others to not do it? I mean, to leave all of those statuses available.
Yeah. Anybody remember?
I'm trying to remember. I think because didn't we originally suppress withdrawn? I think we had said yes to doing that one, but I think the other ones, I think it was kind of that same along the same lines of our thoughts about in repair, that it might be replaced or I think that was kind of where everyone was thinking at that time, but it was, I mean, I think like 6 months ago at least that we had talked about this.
Well, and I don't know about you guys, but if we replace a withdrawn item, I'm not going to put it on the same item record. So it'll be a new item record anyway. So as far as a withdrawn item being replaced, it's certainly not an issue for my library.
I will reuse item records. So if I do a one-to-one replacement, just so I keep my cert information, I just change the barcode.
Yeah.
And yeah, Bobby, that's what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even with that, like I said, it would still be in Polaris. Once that circulation status comes back to in and it goes through that reindexing process, then it would come back through just as normal. It's just when that circ status would be in withdrawn or lost or damaged.
That all makes sense to me.
Okay. With this one, because it is a cataloging change, a change to our catalog, and I know that this was also discussed with the Share Circulation Committee, so we will take it to them as well. Does anybody want to make a motion that we would start to suppress those statuses with the exception of in repair?
I'll make that motion. This is Donna.
I'll second. This is Lauren.
Okay. All right, I'll go ahead and do a roll call vote. Carol Zeese?
Yes.
Lauren Irwin?
Yes.
Shauna Mackey?
Yes.
Bobby Perryman?
Yes.
Donna Shaw?
Yes.
Dawn Pippin?
Yes.
And I am so sorry. I don't want to say it wrong, so please correct me. Chrissy Belizzi?
Belizzi.
I say Belizzi. Okay.
Yeah. And yes.
Okay, great. All right, thank you.
Okay.
So yeah. The next note is it's not an action item.
Yeah.
Excuse me. It's just a note based on some previous training, some recent training that IHLS staff attended in regards to Open Meetings Act and Robert's Rules of Order. And it's in regards specifically to old or unfinished business. One of the things that the parliamentarian had said is that she had a personal preference to not use old business. It's not old, it's just unfinished. But unfinished business, according to Robert's Rules of Order, is very specific to a motion that had been tabled at a previous meeting. and that's the only time it should be used. With the in the past, we have usually used that for like ongoing topics that we're continually discussing. So like Aspen, for example, in the past, I probably would have put that under old business because we had discussed it previously about those withdrawn statuses. But she said that is explicitly for motions that had been made and tabled that we're coming back to. So we are going to make changes in our agendas and our processes to better reflect those guidelines. So I just wanted to give a heads up to the committee so you're all aware of why that's going to look just a little bit different. We will call it unfinished business. It's not old, it's unfinished. So any questions about that? Okay.
All right, moving on to policy review. Well, Jennifer's not here. Do we have some representatives that want to talk about the continuing policies that we're looking at?
Yes, I can talk about those. Yeah, so I think Jennifer sent out a file with all the old policies and then the revised policies.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to start? Sorry, was that, or was I supposed to wait for something? Or am I okay? I don't know how the meetings are supposed to go. So if I'm talking and you want me to stop, just let me know. So there were a couple that we wanted to just remove entirely. So that was editing AACR2 records to match RDA records with a fictitious character as a creator. We couldn't find any examples of that we had used in recent memory. If anyone finds that that's a useful policy, we can keep it, but we were going to recommend removing that one. Having the second one was library edition and regular edition of audiobooks on the same record. We're going to create like a guide for different editions of materials and just have it be sort of like a master one instead of having a different policy for each material type, essentially. So that's going to be combined with the general guidance on different editions. Recording reading program information in bibliographic records. Whatever that one was for, we didn't think it was relevant anymore, so we were going to recommend removing that one. There was also a policy on playaway locks, which I do not believe they make anymore. There was only one that I could find in the catalog, so we were going to recommend removing that one. Same with the preloaded video players policy. That was going to be sort of transferred more to a procedural guide for, like, because we want to have the actual policies and then the procedures. That was going to be more like a how-to rather than an actual share policy. And then the recording publication information for self-published items, we were just going to, same as before, we were going to add that more to a checklist of information and more of a how-to rather than a specific policy. Then we also revised a couple of policies, entering the enumeration of periodicals, annuals, multi-part sets, etc. We rearranged some of the sections. We shortened a couple of the paragraphs. Let me see what else we did. We kept the examples, so just a couple of minor changes to that one. The guidelines for retaining ISBNs in a record, we added the statement that to make sure that people knew that it was a local edit, to remove like the PDF and ebook ISBNs and not to remove those from the main OCLC records, to make that more clear. We removed some of the information about hardbacks and paperbacks being on the same record, because again, we're going to put that in the like handout for edition information. We'd made a couple of revisions to the large print and larger print materials policy. We removed all the procedural information and we'll have that in a separate place. And then we'll link to that like policy. The local bibliographic records policy. This one had a couple more changes. We sort of condensed the section there on acquisitions and on-order records. We created a specific section talking about computers, laptops, and Chromebooks, since that's sort of its own separate situation. We specified that there are certain types of generic records that people can attach to for a very limited number of items, but for the most part, people need to be like, if you're bringing something into Polaris, it needs to be on a full level record. And we changed the wording of library assembled resources to like kit records, because that's generally what we're talking about for those, and made a couple of changes there. And then there's how many left? Three or four more. So the formatted contents note policy. We just provided additional details on like enhanced versus unenhanced and when to use those. And we'll be creating like a specific handout for like how to do all of that that's separate from like the actual policy of what you add. And then let's see, on order records, we tried to make it more clear that on-order records are not to be used for the circulation of materials. And we added a couple of fields that you're supposed to have in the on-order records, but that was the main change we made to those. And then there was the problem resolution for bibliographic services. I think the changes were highlighted in there. It's mostly changes in wording. The updates about the barcoding libraries, since that terminology has changed, and then corrected instead of biannual, biennial for the barcoding refresher training, since that's every other year. And talking about taking things to the Share Executive Council. So that's a brief overview. Does anyone want me to go more in depth on any of those? I think the changes we made were all highlighted in the documents that Jennifer provided. Does anyone have any questions?
Anna, I did have one question
Yeah.
on the hotspots as a
Yes.
generic setting. There are a lot of bib records in there because a lot of people have different kinds. So the wording, if your item doesn't fall into one of the above categories, it must have a full descriptive record. Are you thinking that they should all be on the same record, or is it okay that there's a variety of bib records for the different types?
It's okay if there's a
Okay.
variety. I think it
Okay.
was more like if people want to be more granular, like that's fine. Like if you want to
Okay.
have your specific hotspot on a specific record, that's totally fine. It
Okay.
was more for people who are just like, whatever, it's a hotspot. Like there's a couple of things that are like truly just like equipment that it's just like you can just put, I think it was like bike locks, internet hotspots. And then we had that separate section for like computers, since I think school libraries are using, you know, they're using the records for computers in sort of a different way.
Okay.
And those were the main ones.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
So, are those things that have to be? I mean, is there any further business that has to be done with that, or can we just agree that that's how it is, or does this have to
If
go
everyone
further?
is good with the changes that we made, the proposed changes, I think we can, I don't know, Cassie, can we just vote and move
We
forward?
can take them all as a group, or if we need to pull them out to talk about individually, however you want to handle that is fine.
Would you consider any of this major changes to a policy? Because doesn't that have to go out to membership then? Or is it just more semantics of we're cleaning it up, making it look better, read better?
A lot of the changes that we've made are either in wording, like condensing things a little bit. I mean, the ones we're removing, I guess that's a big change, but like we're like the play away lock we're removing because like they don't exist anymore. So I don't know if that's considered like a big change to remove those necessarily. I don't consider it a big change. The other main thing we're doing is just like sort of separating out the procedural information from like the actual like share policy information, because a lot of that right now is sort of combined, but all of the same information will be available and all of that will still be valid.
So we're not really changing it in that sense, in the sense that we're changing policy. It's more just like we'll have like a guide for how to do large print, or like what do you do when you have multiple different editions of something and you have a paperback and a hardback, and that'll be formatted differently, but it will still be available like in the same place, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so
Right.
it does sound like I would agree that if there are things that we're taking out, that does not need to go for member comment. Things that are added would. So unless there was anything that was added that is substantially different from our current policy, I do not think it needs to go out for member comment.
I don't think there was anything that I remember in this round that we considered to be like a huge addition or change. It was mostly smaller changes.
Yeah, I was going to say it looks like combining, removing, and making more clear clarification. I don't, that's all I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Would somebody like to, unless there are any additional questions, would somebody like to make a motion to approve these changes?
I'll move to approve all changes.
Okay, thank you, Bobby.
This is Carol. I will second.
Thanks, Carol. Okay, we'll go ahead and do a roll call vote. Carol Zeiss.
Yes.
Lauren Irwin.
Yes.
Shauna Mackey.
Yes.
Bobby Perryman.
Yes.
Donna Shawl.
Yes.
Don Pippin.
Yes.
Christy Belizzi.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. I assume this is you, Cassandra, on the certification program, or is that a cataloging specialist? Okay, probably.
That is also a cataloging change. Did somebody, Linda, do I remember who was going to talk about that today?
What is it? Can you repeat that? Sorry.
Oh, the updated cataloging certification program. That is it in I did talk to Jennifer
Oh, gotcha. The cataloging training.
training.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
me. Sorry. Yeah, so basically we're in the process. We're in the beginning of the process to revamp the cataloging training. Right now it's a lot of videos. There's several like OCLC videos that are kind of long, and in my opinion, from when I most recently looked at them, like a lot of the information, at least for us, is sort of out of order in terms of like when you're a new cataloger, you don't need to know first thing like how to export a record. Like we're going to put things sort of in a different order, and probably have it be formatted more similarly to the like barcoding training that Joshri did. So there'll be a little bit more text and less. We'll redo some of the videos and keep some of them, but hopefully our goal is to make it easier if you want to revisit something to do that instead of having to like sign up and then scroll through the video. You can sort of like go through what you need to go through. So the goal, I think, is to have that finished by the end of this fiscal year, so by July. And if you have any suggestions or requests for the cataloging training, then please reach out to me or Jennifer, and we will be happy to consider that as we create the training. And we've had a couple people express interest in like beta testing it, like once we're sort of done with it, to sort of go through it and see if it makes sense and if they like it. So if you're interested in that, feel free to reach out to me as well for that. This is Donna. I think I am one of those that offered to beta test.
Oh, great.
And I just can't say enough thank you because
Yeah.
I have
Thank you.
tried at least three other people on my staff to get them to be the cataloger here instead of it always being me. And they have all failed because of the OCLC videos. They don't even know what OCLC is talking about. And it's because they're demonstrating basically their program, not how to catalog in their program. So it's very confusing to somebody who knows nothing about it.
And that's sort of exactly it, is like now as like
cataloger, like looking back, I'm like, oh, this all makes sense. But like in terms of if you were just coming to this information, which you are, if you're taking the cataloging training, it's very like overwhelming and it's like very front heavy with all of the information about OCLC and stuff that you like don't really need to begin with. So we'll be like restructuring it a little bit, hopefully.
Well, I'm happy to look at anything you want me to look at because I think
Okay.
it's really important. I'm also one of the mentors for iCamp, which I'm sure several
Oh,
other
great.
people on this is doing as well. And yeah, the reason people are so lost is because you can't find that specific thing at that moment that you need
Yeah. Well, and that's
quickly.
right. And
And
that's the hope with the separating out the procedures from the policies as well, is like
yeah.
making that
That makes
distinction
perfect
between
sense.
like, I need to know how to do this versus like, I need to know what the specific share policy is. And then
Right,
if you're
right.
like, I really don't know how to do this and you need to go back and like do the full training, like making that possible to do like during a work day and not like, I need 15 hours of alone time to do this.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
So, yeah. So, yay, kudos to you guys for taking
Yeah.
it on.
Yeah, I just want to second that, Anna. That's awesome because every time I do a training or ask somebody to do an OCLC training, it's so high level and it's like you were saying, it's like just about the program. So that's going to be fantastic. And I also like that you're embedding the videos with the training or with the policies and procedures.
Yeah.
That's going to help too. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Righty. Any more comments about that? I would also let you know that if you want some eyes or testing, I would love to be part of that too. So thanks. And I've
Okay.
got a couple catalogers that probably would too.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. So donations on records, noting those. Who's that?
I can give a little bit of background information. And then, Chrissy, maybe if you wanted to join in, we had a request from a member library that was interested in having memorial donations noted in the record. And so we didn't find a great way to do that. We obviously don't want to list it on a bibliographic record. Because it's going to be one item that was purchased, usually, I would assume one item that was purchased as a memorial. On the item record, you can list notes, but it's not searchable. And so that we wanted to bring it to the committee for discussion to see if there were any other suggestions or ideas. Chrissy, did I get that background correctly?
Yeah, so we have a previous board member who left a significant endowment to the library, and a lot of it is being used for purchasing of circulated materials. And so our director was interested in having a way that if someone ever wanted to know, hey, what items have been purchased with, Aunt Helen's funds, that we can easily, pull some to show them. Because right now we don't, we put book plates in them, but we don't have any way, like electronically, to look up what.
I actually do this. I use the donor field in the item record and it's searchable by donor. I just pulled up, I have 17 items that were donated by the Salt Creek Patchmakers Guild. So
Okay.
what I do, if it's given in memory of someone, I list that person's name in the donor field and then it is searchable.
Okay.
So I think there was an additional challenge with that, Bobby, because the way that it was set up for acquisitions in the item record.
Okay. Sorry, I don't
So,
use acquisitions, so that don't know. Darn.
yeah.
I
So
think
it.
this will help. We don't use the acquisitions either. I use the non-public note for donor information, and that is searchable in an item record.
Okay.
I was gonna say you could also create a record set, at least for your purposes. And then Aspen does have the lists option where you can create a list and you can add in all your titles and then you can share that list. And patrons can go on there and see everything. I don't know that you can make like notes on there to say donated by so and so, but at least if you want to track like, hey, these are the items that we had that were donated by, if you had a significant amount donated by one person or in memory of one person, Then you just create a list that says, hey, this was the books donated by so-and-so, and then they can see all of them on there.
Yeah, I think the thing for us is this is going to be an ongoing donation. You know, we have X amount to use this year, and then there will be, you know, we'll be continuing to draw from the funds in years to come. So it's not like a one and done thing.
So I wonder in that case, if adding a stat class for this specific donor might be an option, because you can run reports really easily by pulling a stat class report. The only thing is, when I saw the initial email wanting it to be searchable by in the catalog, so obviously that's on the staff side, it would be you could find it.
Yeah.
But searching the catalog, I don't know that there would be an access point that way, but I love the idea of having it as a browse category for in Aspen. So it would be an easy way to share that kind of a list with a patron.
Okay.
Cassandra, this is Linda. Jennifer and I and Dina were tossing some ideas around, and Dina also threw out the idea of the Aspen list, which you could create it and name it in the person's name. And then Jennifer was talking about, because she works with the acquisitions, that if the library created maybe a specific fund in that person's name in the acquisitions module, then that might allow them to then put that donor information in there for that specific fund. And then that way it would be searchable by that. We believe, I believe that's what Jennifer was talking about. So there, you know, that might be something else to consider.
Yeah, we actually do that. We have a fund for, at DPL, we have a fund for everybody. So I'm not sure about the searchable part. I mean, we can see it. I'm not sure about in the catalog. I'd have to double check that, but we certainly can access it because we're using acquisitions.
Okay.
That give you some, maybe some ideas to test out as you're kind of starting this process, and maybe at the next meeting, just bring back if there was anything that worked or maybe things that didn't, you want to share with the committee?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, wonderful.
I was also going to suggest that you can make it a public note as well that should show up in the catalog, and it is searchable in Polaris as well. So there is the option of non-public note versus public. And then if you create templates, then that note would always be filled in. You could put a note in your template. That way you don't have to always type it, you know.
Good idea.
So and it would be the same. Go ahead. Sorry.
I had thought the same thing, Donna, but I don't see anywhere in the catalog where those notes actually show up. It's it might be in the account.
Oh,
I'm not sure, but I tested it on, I think it was Friday.
Okay.
And I couldn't find a place where those public notes actually showed up in the catalog. Now, there
is that our choice that we're not letting that field become available because nobody's ever thought about that? You know.
Yeah, there are some things that we don't manipulate how the catalog appears very often, but we could discuss that. But it's also very possible that I just don't know the correct place to look. But I looked in, you know, I pulled it up. It's easier because Aspen is kind of the new guy. I went to the old catalog first to see where it showed up, and it doesn't. At least I didn't see it. So if anybody knows where that might actually appear, and I just missed it because I'm definitely not the expert in that. We would want to test it with the old catalog first before we even get into the Aspen side of things.
Okay.
All right. Is that the end of the discussion on that then, or was there more?
I don't think there was anything else, that we just wanted to bring it to the group to see if anybody else had suggestions. Am I understanding that right from any of our Linda or Anna?
I believe that's all
Yeah,
that we
I'll
were.
look at what ours is too. I know it's searchable on the back end. I'm not sure if we've made it on the front end, but I'll look and see if I can also find some additional ways for that.
Cassandra, I'm sorry. I just did a quick test and I can see that in the old catalog. It's right on my item record.
Okay.
So you did a search. I'm going to go ahead and, oops, let me pull up the catalog because if you could tell me where to look for
Sure.
it. If you just do a quick library search, I always use Aardvark because it's the double A's. It's always the beginning of the encyclopedia. So if I just search for a title, where would I find the item record in the catalog to show that public note?
Okay, so I did. Can you do by control number or what you want?
I was as like a patron that I'm looking for this item.
Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix,
Okay.
and I did it on my sound recording. I should have picked a shorter title, sorry.
Okay, and you were doing sound recording.
And it's a CD version, not the play away, because I do have it in both. And then what I'm, well, now, I'm going through Polaris, but it says my juvenile audio CD. It gives my call number. The status is in. And then right underneath it, it says test Donna.
Okay, are you looking? Because I'm looking at the catalog and I see all of the same information in the status and the in, but I don't see any public notes. I'll share my screen because maybe I'm just looking in the wrong, and maybe I
No,
need to go
it's
further.
probably because I did it through Polaris. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I just assumed what we saw in Polaris was what they were seeing out there. So I'm obviously wrong.
The public note, I think, only shows up if you hover. I don't think it pops up. Is that right? In the catalog, if you
Right.
hover,
If you hover.
you'll find it, but it's not obvious.
I'm still not seeing it. What are you hovering over? Here, let me share my screen and you can maybe
Yeah, be
somebody
easier
wants
to
to.
scan.
This is, I've pulled up this item.
Well, that's Jerseyville's copy. You need to go to
Oh,
Argenis' copy.
okay, that's probably why. Pulled up the wrong one. Sorry about that.
Okay.
So, was it maybe the 2007 version? Okay.
No, because we would be first.
Okay. It a two of two or one of two? Do you know? That
I
might
don't
be.
I don't know. It's probably. Scroll down a little bit. Yeah, there it is. See, it says Test Donna right there.
Yep, it sure does.
Okay.
It's
So
right
where,
there.
what field did you say that was in, Donna?
Public
Public
note.
note. So it's not a hover, it just shows up.
It just
Yeah,
shows up.
let's.
So then you
Okay.
can make a really nice official statement like donated by da 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 da, and you could put it in your template, and then, that way you can always have it worded the same.
Nice.
Is it
I never.
searchable on the pack side, though?
Yeah, now I don't know if it goes to Aspen. That's my
Yeah,
question,
that's what I
but
was just about to say. Because of the grouped works, I'm not sure if it does or not.
well, and again, it's the audio of it. Yeah.
Oh, this is not the CD, it's the sound recording, though.
Yeah, it's, I'm sorry. It's, yeah.
Sorry, I have to move windows here.
It's the audiobook CD.
Okay.
Just try that first one and see what which one it is. Yeah. Okay, so ours is right there. It's the in the middle there, but
I'm trying to figure out how to find that specific item though.
Can you click on the where is it?
That yeah, I did that.
And oh, okay.
That was that that
comes oh, up. That's that list. Okay. Nope, it didn't show it there.
Not there.
But at least you know it's in the regular one, and
we can
I maybe can ask Aspen to put the public note out there.
Yeah, to ask where that shows up. I will be happy to do that.
Well, at least it's a half solution.
Yeah.
I appreciate any idea, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Does that conclude that discussion then?
Yes, thank you. Okay.
Thanks. So, other, do we have any other business as we move on? Not hearing any, so we'll move on to the new category of unfinished business. So that was the member comment for the graphic novel and manga policies, the separating of those. I did see a comment about if we update those records, will there be a batch change or will everybody have to just go back and fix them as they can, or how will that work?
I think it would be batch changes where possible, and then more generally just like as people see them and going forward, like having
right.
this be the policy and making those changes.
Okay. Now with that comment, do we respond to that, or do they just get the information, or how does that work? Since there's a member comment, I wasn't sure what the protocol was.
So you're just asking. So let me go to that. When I looked, I didn't see a comment, but it was a few days ago. So let me.
Oh,
it was a while ago. I must have missed it.
Okay.
Looks like yeah, John's I see it was in the 11th. Yeah. So yeah. Caputo said, I see no issues to the changes to policy. And asking about if there's plans to update the existing manga bit records, and if that was something that Cher would be doing.
Well, yeah, we can go in and respond, and yeah, any general like cleanup issues we'd probably just take care of when we have time, and this would be more of a going forward thing for the member libraries. That makes sense. And I'll probably this next year, I'll probably do another training session on manga and graphic novels, since we have had changes to those and talking about those changes.
That would be very helpful. All right. Was there any other unfinished business that we need to talk about?
I do have... I'm so sorry. I do have another thing for the manga policy.
Okay.
I'm going to share my screen. So basically it has, since we hoped it would be the final thing, but since we have talked about this, we were talking with some of the catalogers, and the specific terms like shoujo and shonen that are in there for a lot of them, there are authority record, like series authority records for them, and there are a lot of them that are listed as a series, but that's actually, to my knowledge, that is technically that is not correct. They're more of like a genre term. They basically refer to whether something is like marketed to boys or marketed to girls. They're not really a true series in that sense. So there are controlled genre terms for them. So I was going to say we should add this section about using the genre term rather than as a series statement. And then I updated my example down here to the Cinemanga instead of having the shoujo as the differing series statement. Does that make sense to people?
Definitely.
Jennifer said she considered that a minor change, so we wouldn't have to resubmit it for comment, but we can also, if people think that we should have that out there longer, we could also do that, I think. Does anyone?
It is kind of a correction. So, is
Yeah.
it anywhere in the policy that those two things are series and now we're changing it to genre? I mean, are we changing a
It
policy
wasn't
thing?
specifically mentioned before.
Okay,
It wasn't
okay.
like, do this with the shoujo. It was just sort of like, I was considering it when I cataloged manga. I was considering it as when we were sort of discussing the title versus the series statement. It's different than the title. So I was just considering it a series statement because a lot of times it'll say like the shoujo beat edition or whatever. And so then when I looked up the authority record, there was an authority record for it. So I was like, okay, I guess this is like a type of series. But I was talking with Jace and he's like, it's not really a series. So this is, as far as I can tell, this is more correct. I don't know how widely in the world that's known. I think there's a lot of people at a lot of libraries who are kind of like at a loss for how to catalog manga. So,
I kind of think that those what you would say series statements probably comes from the fact that a lot of manga is originally published in I don't know if I want to say serial form, but they're published in individual chapters in a
Right.
magazine, and then the magazine goes out, and then after a while that all those chapters are collected into books. So I think that's probably where it comes from, but personally I feel like it's more accurate to use those as genre terms as opposed to a series term.
Yeah, that was sort of our thinking as well.
So that seems like more of a clarification than a new or a change.
Yeah. So it would just be this additional little section that you see on the screen. But we've also had, I wasn't supposed to bring this up in this meeting, but I'm going to anyway. For the form subdivisions, right now we have this policy written as delete duplicate subject headings that are the same heading with a different subdivision. That's what we sort of agreed on. I've had some questions from people about juvenile materials specifically. Having that additional form subdivision for like juvenile fiction in addition to comic book strips, etc. As far as I can tell from looking at the policies, you are supposed to remove additional ones for adult materials, and it's optional to leave them in for children's materials. I think since as share catalogers, we already remove the duplicate juvenile subject headings, I think that would be very confusing to tell people to leave in the duplicate form subdivision headings for juvenile material, manga specifically, but remove the juvenile subject headings. I think it's easier to delete the duplicates. We could talk about that the next time, but since we're like reaching the end of hopefully what is this period of talking about this policy, I just wanted to bring that up and I didn't know if people had thoughts about that, if that makes sense. It's kind of convoluted.
I know I was one of the ones that brought this up to you because I was wondering why we do that.
Why we
The only
delete them?
yeah, like why we delete. Well, okay, like I was thinking in the context of like you have a children's comic book, so you'll have the comic book strips, etc., and then you'll also have like juvenile fiction because
Right.
it is a juvenile comic book. And I don't
Right.
think there's like anything that says you can't put them both in there, but that was like our choice locally, and I guess I was just kind of
Right.
wondering like what is the motivation behind that? What other things do we have where we do that? Like where what other what other situations besides comic books are we talking about?
I think our thought was more just like for everything else in terms of subject headings. We remove any like fast headings, or we remove the duplicate. Like if you had duplicate things, you would remove them. If you have duplicate material, like juvenile subject headings, you would remove them. So I think in the past, people have removed them. I'm comfortable with telling people to leave the additional juvenile ones in if people think that's helpful in terms of like searching and like marking them as juvenile materials.
Is
I
that
can add that distinction into the policy if you want me to.
I don't really have strong feelings either way. I was more curiosity. Can we have more than one on the same line, or does it have to be its own? Like, could you just have this
It
runaway
does have to be its
teenagers?
own like
Okay.
separate line from what I can
Okay.
tell. So you don't want them to be all like in one string, I think. I'll have to
Yeah.
double check. And you're definitely supposed to, according to like the guidelines for the adult materials, you're not supposed to, like if you had in this example, like runaway teenagers, comic book strips, etc., and that was an adult material, and they did have that duplicate runaway teenagers fiction, you would delete the fiction one. Like, and that's according to like the actual policy. But you wouldn't do that necessarily. You wouldn't have to do that for juvenile materials.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, I think
Yeah.
I personally prefer to be consistent because I think it's easier for people to remember things that way. But I,
Yeah.
like I said, I don't really have strong feelings either way.
Okay. I was going to suggest leaving it the way we have it because I think that's a little bit more manageable unless people had strong feelings about like, no, it's really important. The other option that we did discuss that I discussed with Jennifer was if we're concerned about differentiating between like children's materials and adult materials, we could go through and add a local subject heading for like juvenile comics or something. Anyway, those are my comments on the manga policy.
Anna, was that something we'll be talking about again next time then? At our next meeting, or
We don't
is there?
have to.
Okay. So there's no
Hopefully, if
official
people are
change.
good with this policy with the shoujo and the shonen, I
Okay.
was gonna say like, Godspeed, move it forward to the executive committee. Unless people have strong feelings about adding that caveat in about the duplicates for the duplicate
Yeah.
subdivision headings
Okay.
for the juvenile materials.
Okay, thanks. So does this, so this now moves on to executive? Is that
I believe so,
correct?
yes.
Or is there
When, I'm
another
not sure.
space? Yeah, once we have, I think that we need to have a motion to go Okay,
ahead
so we
to
will vote. Okay. So we need a motion to approve before it goes on to executive, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve this policy as is or changes?
This is Lauren. I'll move to approve it and move it on.
Thanks, Lauren.
This is Shauna. I'll second.
Thanks, Shauna.
Okay, we'll go ahead and do a roll call. Carol Zeiss.
Yes.
Lauren Irwin.
Yes.
Shauna Mackey.
Yes.
Bobby Perryman.
She had
Did
to
we
leave.
lose Bobby?
Yeah.
Okay. Donna Shaw.
Yes.
Don Pippin.
Yes.
Christy Belizzi.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. So, was there any public comment? Do we have any public here today? All right. I don't hear any, so we'll move on to announcements. Were there any announcements today? Right, hearing none. I'll mention the next meeting date, which is Friday, January 17th, 2024.
I do apologize. That was
2025. That should be
my
2025,
fault.
right?
Yeah, it should have been, and I just didn't catch it. I wasn't,
I just saw it.
yeah.
Yeah. 2025 at 10 a.m. And now we can adjourn at 11:05.
Great. Thank you,
Thank
everybody.
you.
Appreciate
Thank
all this,
you.
everybody. Appreciate it.
Thank
Have a great
you.
day.
Good weekend.
Great weekend.